way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small-town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what-fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
I didn't contribute anything.
I'm okay with good enough. I mean, I think I've gotten by a large portion of my life on good enough.
That'll do. Mm-hmm. Pass, fail.
Aim, close enough for the girls we run with.
Aim for the middle. Let's go. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of Dutch by Association.
Your harvest episode.
It is the harvest episode. We're in the field. Well, no, we're not. We are honoring those that miss their meals so that we can have ours. Salute!
Thank you.
And speaking of ag, we do have a new sponsor for this episode of episode number 77, by the way. And
if you are listening to 77 and did not hear the third segment of 76, you must stop right now. Go back, listen to the last 15 minutes of 76. All of it would be better, but I understand your time is valuable. Well, you don't have all day.
Yeah, it's fine. I think you go back and you do that.
You have to had listened to the last episode to understand why this sponsorship is so important.
They felt they needed to set the record straight, right. I feel like.
Like under 24 hours of release time and, yeah. And you to know, your Venmo?
To yep. their credit, they didn't bring up why, but I feel like
I think we know why.
Right?
And it wasn't even us besmirching. I think it was us Aaron. Quoting.
We were just quoting fake Bob. Yeah. That was all him. I'm just telling a story.
Now, in honor of this harvest episode of Dutch mm-hmm. by Association, we're proud to be brought to you by a couple of our local Pioneer Seed dealers.
Yes, Bird Seed of Sutherland, Iowa. That's the name of the seed dealership.
I get it.
Oh, very good.
Yes, owned by Jordan Bird.
How do we spell that?
B-I-R-D.
Oh, very good.
Just the way it sounds.
Sure. Boy, just
these aren't Dutch names, Aaron.
Vander Birdsma? No.
And his partner, Michael Wagner, together they are operate a Pioneer dealership in Sutherland. I've known both of them my whole life. Jordan actually lives in the house that I grew up in.
Oh, wow.
And went to high school with Michael. He's a few years younger than me, so know him really well. Actually, customers of theirs, and they were customers of mine when I was at John Deere. Great guys. Glad to have them as sponsors.
And now you're saying a lot nicer things about Pioneer Seed than you were.
I never said anything negative about Pioneer Seed. We plant Pioneer.
Yep, that's what you said off air.
Yes.
You weren't even paid to say that. Are there trademarks we need to do with this? Like, made in the U.S., don't they? Isn't that like you see the Pioneer logo and then...
Because it's American owned. And then, yes, versus Chinese or German.
But then doesn't Monsanto own or Bayer own Pioneer?
No.
No, Pioneer is its own thing. So, but then
remember.
There's
another, another sign. Who owns what now?
Freedom to spray. That's another sign I've seen out by Pioneer signs.
What does that mean? Freedom to spray.
It means that you...
Give me all of your chemical.
It just means that they have all the traits.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Roundup.
And no, there's a lot more than that. We're not even going to get into it because if we even start down that path, you're just going to edit it out anyway. That Pioneer Seed has a variety of options to meet all of your needs.
Call our friends. Where are they at again?
Sutherland. Yep.
Bird Seed.
Yep.
We appreciate you guys being so quick to get on your Venmo and let us know that Pioneer Seed, the corn, stands straight and tall. through all weather,
even brisk winds.
I texted Michael to thank him because I think he's the one that sent the Venmo, and he said, "Yeah, Pioneer doesn't blow down anymore. Get your story straight
it's anymore." Oh, now it's DeKalb is the reigning tip over champion. If we say enough crap about him, we'll get Venmo'd from some DeKalb dealer somewhere.
I heard the same thing about Hefty.
That's right. No, wait for the next episode when we say something disparaging about another.
Well, so yeah, we've worked our way through the softball teams now, and your
still
team,
got the chicken ranch.
Your team fell flat on its face. All the steam came out.
Yeah,
the air came out of the
just
balloon.
$75. No better than anybody else. But
I never thought they were, actually. I thought,
well, we're the quitters. Well, obviously, we're the quitters. We know, you know what? There just comes a time when you need to hand the baton off to the younger generation. You know, just because we can doesn't mean we should.
True.
That sometimes you just got to step back and let the kids do it. You know, a good lesson for maybe some people in agriculture.
Just retire so I can get this ground already. Come on.
Nothing, Mitch?
Well, there are people out there.
Yeah, but the people that are holding on aren't listening to this podcast.
Yeah, you're right. Well, and
their kids their kids are listening.
Right, farming is the only industry where I've ever met a 60-year-old who is waiting for dad to retire so he can finally take over the family business.
And drive the combine.
Yeah, right. And plant. Yep. Yeah, still the grain cart guy and running the seed tender around.
I've been the
around.
Grain cart guy since I graduated in 72. Well, probably not the grain cart guy then. You were pulling the Demco 360s back then. But yeah. Oh, it's all fun when it isn't us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of. I mean, Mitch is over there.
What? What about me?
Oh, I mean, I'm just
saying. When are you going to, you know, give it up and let Wyatt have a little? When are you going to let him make the decisions on the farm?
When my farm is paid for, and I believe I have only 27 annual payments remaining. So
you did annual payments. Yeah. 11 months of the year are blissful months.
Yeah,
the greatest month.
That 12th month, though.
That 12th month. I have one thing I've purchased, and they were like, you want to do monthly payments or annual payments? So I can do an annual payment. Only one payment a year. It's like I can have 11 months and 30 days of pure bliss. I will take that payment. Yeah, it can't.
And then
be
when that statement
mail.
Comes.
Yeah, it's like, holy cow, that's a lot. If I divide this by 12, it's not very much, though. What was I thinking?
Yep.
Mine would still be a lot divided by 12.
Well, I suppose you have
yours. But his farm's just so damn profitable that.
Right.
Yeah.
You have your payment set for after you bring the harvest in, though, right? Is that the idea? You would be able to sell some or not necessarily?
Yeah, I guess in theory, but then
well,
he's
so independently wealthy anyway. He farms for a hobby, you know. It's
the IRS might be listening.
It is not a hobby.
Losses everywhere.
It's very serious.
It's a fledgling business that's struggling to become profitable according to my tax return.
Speaking of government handouts, Aaron had a field day the other day where he got to showcase all of his government handouts.
Yeah. So I want to tell you a little story. About 12 months ago, I held a field day and we sent an email out to all the Northwest Iowa grazers, which would be just people whose information we got from the Practical Farmers of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, come out to my farm, and then we'll also go over how I was able to apply through the NRCS for some EQIP dollars for infrastructure. I got a response back from somebody that said, I will not be participating in your theater of of theft.
Theater of theft.
That you are going to just be okay with the theft of American citizens' money and just taking that and being so proud of that. I'm not going to participate in your theater.
Now, what are the odds?
Did you go to EWG subsidy database immediately and see if this person...
No, I didn't. I just was... It really kind of shook me up.
But is this the same person that said, I don't want no COVID money? Nope. I'm sure they sent the check back.
and I don't know, I can't remember the name now. I'm sure I have the email. It was very lengthy, just really kind of chewing me out on how proud I am about thieving so much, fleecing the American people for what I had. And I was like, I'm just playing by the rules. And I know I sound a little bit like Donald Trump there. I'm just playing by the rules.
Right, but you're telling the truth about that. So.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, but and with the EQIP, that funding is there for people to get started in farming or ranching. So it's like, okay, well, I did it. But so then that same person got the invite to come this year. And I thought, am I going to get the email again? And this time I was kind of looking forward to it because I'd gotten over it. And I talked with another guy who's kind of the leader of the grazing group. And he was at my field day. And he's the one that just like, oh, yeah, no, they're like that. They're just like that. Don't worry about it. It's their thing. So, okay. But I did not get an email this time.
But did they come?
No. Oh, no. He said he's only ever seen them come to one thing. But yet they're just always on the invite list. And I don't know if it has to do with the fact that all of us in one way or another are a benefactor of the government.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You drove on a road to get there, did you? Did you enjoy thieving from the American people and drive on that road?
I'm checking your gas tank. I wonder if that diesel's tinted.
So we did have the field day. That was just last week, one week ago.
Yeah.
And both of you guys made it. Did you forget?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
I texted them.
You did.
Yeah. You texted me too, but I didn't see it. I didn't see it till later. But from 10 until noon and had burgers at noon. And yeah, it was a nice time.
It was.
Thanks for coming, guys.
It was a lot of fun. It was very informative. You even made it a point to get Asa out there. And
he did such a poor job. I shoved him over. I took the microphone, then shoved him over and took over.
He needs to learn to elaborate a bit because, all right, hey, tell us about these cows. So this is a nice cow. Yeah. This one's nice of a cow.
It's got teats. What you want to see is that the back line is good. And then you want to be sure that everything here is good and that is good. It's like, what? Define good. It reminds me when I went to go get my CDL and you have to do your pre-trip inspection. And I didn't study for it. Because any idiot can go get your CDL. Well, I went and I was like doing the well, what are you going to check? Well, I'm going to check the tires. For what? Yeah. Be sure that they're good, that the tread is good. And no.
I got my stick.
Yeah. Be sure. And then I'm going to check the brakes to be sure they're good. And I did. That's what came to mind as he was doing that. And I was like, a DOT lady. I remember when we were done with the pre-inspection, she's like, you got so many wrong. I just don't even think we're going to do the driving portion.
There's no way you can overcome this.
Way you can overcome this deficit. But and then I learned, that you just can't say something is good. You have to define what is it. What is the tread depth? What are you looking for on the brake specifically? What's your pressure specifically? And all this and that. But that's what it reminded. That's why. And now, I wasn't fair to him. I told him, I want you to do the piece where we look at the cattle and I will work with you through it. And I never got a chance. So he was doing it all on his own. And if I would have had the chance to sit down with him even for 10 minutes and said, now you have to define what good is. You can't just say if it's good. But it was a good time. It was fun.
It's a good thing his FFA teacher wasn't there, or he would have never made any sort of judging team or anything.
Right. Well, he actually.
You want to make sure that they've got. I just remember he kept saying, like, she's got good teats. The other one doesn't have good teats.
No, does not have good teats.
Well, define good teats.
Right. What? Right. Dad! I don't know how to say this in a way that's not going to get me in trouble.
And Aaron's like, he's in a separate paddock, like moving a cow, and mm-hmm. then you just see him like stop and just like, hey, thanks, Asa. Let me take this now.
Appreciate your help.
What was funny was we were walking from the shaded structure down to
Wayne was mad about. Oh. We're leaving the shade.
That was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day.
Hooked it up to the side by side and pulled the shade down there for Wayne.
I would have appreciated that.
And then pulled it back up to the top for burgers.
Just let me ride underneath it. We started walking down there, and all of a sudden, Mitch kicks up a Monster Energy can from the path. Right. Yeah. Huh. Wonder whose this is. And so, yeah, I asked Ace, I'm like, so 400 grams, milligrams of caffeine, huh?
Well, it's been a while since I've done that much.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
But he has pretty well cut out caffeine for the most part, unless he has a pop. Like, we went to Pizza Hut, really? And then he had a Pepsi. But otherwise, wow. He's really, the doctor's was able to scare him straight.
Well, that's good.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing, something his old man could have never done. But yeah, we served 80 burgers, I think, right at 80 burgers. Brought 8 home was all.
Nice.
They were very good.
I should have had a
second. Did you have them on an organic bun or a Casey's Bakery bun?
No, I went organic.
Did you really?
Because I knew everything else.
Is that what those were?
Was provided
by? They were
Well, they had sesame seeds on them. They were good.
Oh, the sesame seeds saved them from chewing on cardboard.
I thought it was good.
It was quite dense.
I can't believe quite you didn't dense. Take... Well, and it didn't help that they'd been sitting in the sun, and that doesn't help either.
Well, I didn't know that they were organic. I just thought, oh, well, this is the bag that's open. Because I didn't want to be the guy that opened the bag of Casey's, right? Because these ones were open, now, and, you know...
So, my landlady bought every organic bun that she could find in Sioux Falls, and turns out there was only 40-some. And so the rest had to come from Casey's Bakery, just their standard buns, which I absolutely love.
Those are great. Yeah.
Good buns, fresh.
And then we had some organic mustard.
Mm-hmm. Organic ketchup.
Yep.
Organic tomato on there, too.
Yep. And the...
kale chips.
Yep. Did you try some kale chips?
Yep. Those were actually good.
Yes.
The homemade relish was very good.
Yeah,
it was all really good.
Yeah, Susan loves to ferment things. She's big into that.
And then they had 2 boxes of chips. One was the organic variety, and one was like Doritos. And I took Doritos, and I could see both of your landlords give me the side eye. Like, he was so close.
Yep, slipped up on the last thing. That's too bad.
And while we were there, of course, your parents were there,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm talking to Deb, and she's like, oh, hold on. I got to go meet this Mitch fella.
Like, meet him all over again.
Yeah. We did this 3 years ago.
I've talked to her since then.
Yeah. Too,
I'm not that memorable.
You left
obviously.
Such an indelible impression that.
Just another balding, tall, little chubbier guy, and must bump into them a lot.
He looks like
my
Kojak.
Story too. That's my story. Yeah, that and then my landlord, being a German, brought beer for dinner because it's what you do. And so I had a tall boy after pretty well everybody had left, but my landlords and maybe a couple other people, but we were just cleaning up and I was pooped.
Yeah,
I spent that morning, and then you're kind of under a lot of pressure for those 2 hours to be sure everything goes well and you don't look like an idiot. And then I had the beer, and then I went home and to drop the leftovers at home. And I said, I'm just going to sit down here in the Lazy Boy just for a minute. An hour later, I just crashed.
But it was a really good nap, though. Yeah.
So were you nervous when you had to get up and speak?
Not really. Not too bad.
Because at first, like the first 30 seconds, I thought you seemed nervous, and then you just kind of hit your stride and the rest.
Yeah, that's probably.
Maybe I noticed it more because I know better. But
I wouldn't say. I mean, the anxiety's still there. You can't control that sometimes, but it's not nervous to the point that I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's like, oh, we're going to need somebody to pray, and then nobody does, and I can see the food and it's getting cold. I'll do it.
I think your nervous tick is talking. Like you'll be illustrating a point. Oh, but then that reminds me of this time that this happened, and then suddenly it's
the thing is there's so much information, and I want to be brief because I can look out at the crowd, and what I absolutely hate is losing the attention of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to try to keep it informative. Meanwhile, some people want you to really go deeper into it, and other people are like, I don't know what you're even talking about. So you're going to lose me in a minute.
Right.
There were a few people there who need to learn that if you're going to carry on a side conversation, you do it at a low volume.
Yes.
That, I mean, they're standing true. There. Hey, how was the ball game last night? And Aaron's over here. Yeah, so anyway, my cows. I'm like, what? Go off on your own or something. What the hell are you doing?
It was interesting because then he had like a plant in the crowd that's now let's talk about the grasses. And so they...
Robert, right?
This guy that...
Robert, and then there's Tori.
Tori, yeah. And I haven't spent that much time looking at grass since I was in the ninth grade.
And he absolutely loves it. And the best part is I didn't tell him last year either, but I didn't tell him. I just made sure he was coming. And the thing is, he's so easy to speak and he's so stinking smart.
Yeah. And you can tell he's into it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just say, hey, Tori, will you come over here and talk about this a little bit? You better believe I will.
Yeah. A couple times he picked up a plant and he's like, I think this is such and such grass, or maybe it's this. And then he's like, does anybody else know? And we all look at each other like, if you don't know, we don't know.
We just know that's a grass, man. Tell us what you think
it
is.
It was such a weird sight. Like, he had several of his children there. Mm-hmm. He's knelt down in dung, like examining the remnants.
If you have a cow patty near you, you can do what I'm doing here and tear it apart.
Tear it apart. When we went back up to the top a little bit later, he comes and finds me. Hey, man, I got to tell you, when everybody left, Robert and I were looking at some of the patties down there that were dried out, and we were able to pick them up and break them apart. There's fungus in there. There's this type and that's type, and then we seen an earthworm. We just really thought you'd love to know that. I was like, I really am.
I would have never discovered that.
But I would have never picked up cow patties and gone searching for fungus. But
how exciting.
Yeah, but that's the
type. He makes you wonder what his Saturday night is like,
no
right?
No kidding.
But he, you know, I tell you, the crowd, that type of crowd to hang with, and that's where these smaller group outings that I go to are so much fun because it's so different from any other sphere I'm in. It's fun.
It was very interesting. Nice people and good crowd. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot.
Yep. I asked questions to keep the conversation going.
I couldn't help but giggle when you when you'd raise your hand because all that would cross my mind is, what smart ass question is Wayne gonna be asking?
No.
And then you'd raise your hand with a big serious face and I'd be like, oh no. Okay, the last one is serious. Now comes the smart ass.
So how often do these cows get out? Aaron,
that's right. You want to talk about?
The day was not about me. It was about you. And I asked questions that I genuinely wondered about, and that people would that sparked conversation amongst the grazing folk.
I felt like he turned over a new leaf. Actually, usually if he asks a question about agriculture, immediately goes to sleep. Did you have to take a nap in your truck after that?
That's why he was late. He got an hour nap in before he came.
I don't want to get sweepy.
My landlord and landlady's two daughters were allowed to come skip school.
Oh,
yeah. Whoa. But they had to each ask a question and then write an essay when they got home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading the essays. You wonder what people get out of it because I've done enough like with teaching catechism or Sunday school, teaching adult Sunday school, doing these types of things where you can really feel when people are tuning out.
Right. Yeah.
And I hate that.
Yep.
So how do you get the people brought back and how much are they really getting out of it? So I'm interested to see what these two high school or eighth grade and sophomore, what did they glean from it?
The biggest thing was that you had kind of an outline of how what you wanted to cover, because I could see you referring to it like, oh, I have to make sure I talk about this.
They were supposed to go out to everybody. And the PFI guy says, I have never worked with anybody who's produced an outline. I've never worked with anybody who's printed anything that looks so professional.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
really?
I'm just a plumber. I just thought it would be beneficial for people to...
But several times, and I think he looked at his parents when he said this. Well, you know, I can only do so much. I have a full-time job. I have
it's
a full-time
like
job.
I'm out here during the weekday or anything. Right. Ever. Never.
I mean,
never taking vacation days, spending them here. No.
But yeah, yeah. The one part that I took away from it was the how some guy that you pointed out rotates his cattle every 12 hours or something stupid like
12 hours.
So sometimes
you get into June and you're doing three a day.
My goodness.
Yeah. To me, I don't know. That sounded like you're almost making work for yourself.
Yeah. Right.
It depends how you want to look at it. There's some different schools of thought on it, but as far as they're concerned, they're both home. They homeschool. They've got kids. That's their day. All right, we got up. Let's go move the cattle into their new paddock, and then we're going to work on this. And then tonight before bed, we're going to do it again. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to do it again. And then that'd be your 12-hour shifts, or you do 8-8-8. But, you know, it works, and there are a lot of people that do it, but you have to be on your farm all the time.
Right.
And that's not how I'm setting myself up.
And that kind of goes to the mindset of, you said some of the people there said you're not enough of a purist, or maybe that mm-hmm. was Andy telling me that. We had a discussion about that there too, but like, you know, you should be 100% all in, and this mm-hmm. is like all you do. And I'm like, that almost seems like you're coming up with work to justify that being right. all you do.
Well,
right?
the dairymen have to be there 24/7.
I don't know.
Yeah. And for me, so they just have established that as their goal because they believe they will achieve better results. I am okay with not quite as good results doing a 3 to 4 day move. And that I have a grazing schedule that I have to follow in order to maintain my equip. Yearly funds I get for behaving in a particular manner.
The theater that you have to perform.
The theater I have to perform in order to continue theft.
You're conducting a study.
Well, that's the SARE, but oh, I mean, that's even a different the, thing. Yeah, the oh, equip, yeah. You know, SARE, if they knew that I did a SARE grant thing, they'd really lose their mind with the amount of money I've stolen from the American public.
Ooh, valuable research.
Let's go across the border here. What do you have there, by the way? What is in that bag?
This is compliments of my landlord, Doppelcakes. They are a sandwich cookie with 46% cocoa cream filling from Germany.
They're good.
Because my landlord was born in Germany, came to the States. That's where he met Susan. They got married, went to California, then moved to Brandon, South Dakota. And I am condensing this to nothing. And then they had signed up to buy a quarter of beef from somebody in Sioux Center, the Denoys. I bought those steers along with the list of people. They asked, can we come see your farm? And the next thing you know, they've purchased land and I've turned it into pasture.
You become your sugar mama and daddy. And
they bring in beer and sausage.
And they bring me German beer, German sausage, German pretzels, and German doppelcakes.
It's very good. It's like a reverse Oreo, which is
When we go to break here, I'll give you one. They're actually really good.
Well, prost.
But you can only get them one time a year in Sioux Falls, FYI.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
where?
Aldi.
Oh, of course.
Of course. All right. We'll be back with more after this. I just have to get all the loose bits of...
Doppelcake?
It's a very... The flavors are a lot more muted. Like maybe it's the
just because there's no MSG, probably the no high fructose corn syrup.
Yes. Yep.
There's sugar in it,
but yeah.
What do you want me to read the ingredients?
I was just curious.
I think it's rather boring.
Which it could almost pass for Dutch.
Yeah, I kind of.
Except there's no almond. If there was a little hint of almond, it could be a Dutch cake.
So we are going to have to figure out how to live life without fun or flavor.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, sounds yes.
Like, oh, your house.
Yes. My daughter, it no sounds fun. Like she's going to, we have to do some more testing, but sounds like she might have celiac disease and not like the cool kind that hipsters get, but like the actual
one that
kind.
Actually.
Yeah. Like,
right. Like effects. It's not fake that. Yeah, actually diagnosed and
right, yeah,
is a medical
by
condition.
Like a doctor,
yeah,
not like a doctor like Dr. Pepper. So, got that diagnosis here a couple weeks ago. So that was at she'd been having problems with incontinence, specifically on the number two side.
And that's a good word.
What? Oh, okay.
No more descriptive than that, says Mitch. He's too clean for this.
That's right.
Plumber Aaron is like, oh, yeah, no, I've seen that.
Well, and I just don't think she would appreciate you saying that on the podcast.
You don't listen. She's eight.
I don't care.
Neither do I. That's why I'm saying it. Anyway.
Hey, Pizza Ranch sells a gluten-free pizza crust. Oh. You're in great shape.
Oh, yeah, Pizza Ranch every night. It might taste better than their actual one. But we're not going to know because...
We're never going to get them as a sponsor now.
Oh, like no, we
no,
would.
No, no, no. We can talk about it a little bit, and then they can be like, you know what? You boys, we'll give you some gluten-free pizza and...
Try it out on
Try it out. Yep.
We'll see how Wayne feels by the end.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now.
Maybe we'll find out you're actually...
We were told by the doctor that it is hereditary.
Yeah.
And
dairy.
It's been noted that my
that all of her other negative traits come from you.
Yeah, that's probably right. that I seem to my food seems to repeat on me more than the average human. So Becky's gotten her, like, we suggested we do panels. She's gotten her done. I haven't done mine yet, but, you know, just to see.
Well, process of elimination, huh?
Yeah.
They'll say, you can't have any beer, you can't have any bread, you can't have any pasta.
And that's what I said.
Can't have any dairies.
Like, when we first got this diagnosis, I talked to, I was talking to Becky, and I'm like, so we kind of know which foods are triggers, and we kind of know like timing and that sort of thing, like how that part of it works. Like, so she wants to eat this food every once in a while, and she knows she's going to have to poop. What's the big deal, right? And then it turns out it's like a eats at your intestinal wall.
So it's a little more than just messy poops.
Right.
Sorry, man.
You are such a baby. Sally, God.
I just don't
grew up on a farm, man. We're being as dirty as putting socks on a counter. I mean, we have a certain level of decorum here.
It doesn't feel like it right now.
Pretend that nobody poops.
That'd be fine.
We need to get you the little kid's book called Everybody Poops.
Yes.
A book is not allowed in my house.
Because nobody here poops.
And you certainly don't talk about anybody else doing it. But I learned, from Mitch's house, because he keeps a clean house. Typically when I go over there, it's trying out new beers and it does not do good things for my system. So I have to excuse myself. Yes, I'm going back into another poop combo.
At Mitch's house?
Oh, well, if you gotta go, you gotta go, man. But
that's why we keep a plunger in every bathroom, because Wayne might come over.
The plunger is not an issue. You're not worrying about anything getting clogged. But
you have high quality toilets in your house, by the way. You shouldn't need a plunger.
That's right.
Well, have you ever been in a bathroom where you needed one and you didn't have one? I'm not going to put someone else in that situation.
It was very kind of you.
Well, by the way, I'm not going to have you poo-poo me when you were the guy that brought up the conversation about a poop knife once. So,
no, that was a thing from the internet, and you had a knife in your bathroom, and I just referenced it. Oh. It wasn't that I had one. Anyway.
But anyway.
So, your daughter.
Mitch had matches in his bathroom.
And candles, yeah.
And I found out that is the world's best air freshener. Science!
Did you, YouTube it while you were sitting there?
No.
Why does Mitch have matches in his bathroom?
No, because I thought I got to do something, because he doesn't actually have a fart fan. He has...
Oh, the air exchange.
He's got an air exchange.
Sorry about that. It was a really good idea.
It was a phase you went through.
It was a phase everybody went through. There's some heating and cooling companies out there that still do that. Well, we're nameless.
So dumb. I don't like
it. They think their doesn't stink, and that's why they think bathrooms.
Yeah, that's why they want to distribute it throughout the house.
And even regardless of that, the steam of a shower. You know, you need an exhaust fan.
There's probably, I probably got 15 houses out there. It was a mistake. I'm sorry.
And you know what? They learned because the basement in my house was not finished immediately when the house was built. The basement bathroom has a vent fan. So they realized the error of their ways.
So when I found this out, it was kind of like that Dumb and Dumber moment when, you know, like Lloyd's on the toilet or whatever. But so it's like, what can I do poor about bitch. This? What can I do about this? And then I found the matches.
Yes.
And I found the candle and I lit the candle and.
And he left and I was like, where the hell did all my matches go?
and now every bathroom, well, my bathroom at home and my bathroom at work, full complement of matches.
That's good.
Yeah. It burns the sulfur.
This is going to be the worst segment we've ever done.
Oh, whatever.
I really thought our last episode was one of the worst we'd ever done. And then I listened to it and it's actually not so bad. So
yeah.
Here we are in the moment, Mitch. It's going to be really good. I thought it was pretty good. Were you like Wayne
where you felt that you didn't talk enough and so it must be bad?
Until the third segment, then I ratcheted it up.
Yeah.
Then it that's got what good salvaged finally. It. Yeah. Finally got good.
Whatever.
My brother. Never mind. You still have a story to tell.
I was done. It was just, you know, because poop, we have to eat different now.
But so do you have plans for what you're going to change?
We don't know for sure yet. So what the doctor said was, hey, like we have endoscopy and MRI planned for like early November.
So they're like, this is a real big problem, but just, you know, wait a couple months.
They wanted us.
It could literally kill her. Don't change anything about your diet, though, until we're sure.
Here's the soonest we can get. And then we're like, you know, when you're in Canada, you got to wait a long time.
It's the same way here, too. Don't bring her up on a death panel. I mean, come on. They said, okay, well, we want to have her eat normal so that way when we do all this stuff, we can see what normal looks like for her and then make decisions that way.
I hope they give you a good cookbook because how do you have the things you normally love? Like, how could I do SpaghettiO hot dish gluten-free?
Oh, there's probably a gluten-free SpaghettiO hot dish, right?
Spaghetti, gluten-free SpaghettiOs.
For the poverty-stricken hippie? I don't know.
Gluten-free condensed vegetable soup.
And,
So does Becky have to find a new hobby besides making sourdough bread? Because I feel like that probably doesn't help
things.
Oh,
that's true, too. Yeah. Oh, boy. I mean, is it... And I'm still trying to figure out, like, what all is a gluten? Like, is it every grain or is it only some wheat. Grains?
It's a protein found in wheat.
So then it gives
Isn't
me
it
some
makes
hope.
It sticky or something? Isn't gluten what makes wheat dough? Yeah, I don't know.
I read up on it once long ago when this first became a thing where a lot of people self-diagnosed they were...
any hippie passed a little gas. Oh my, I must be gluten intolerant.
Right. Yes.
No, I think
which is a way of saying that. Well, the doctor said I don't have celiac disease, but I also want to be fashionable, so I'm gluten intolerant.
Oh, you have celiac disease? Well, I'm gluten intolerant.
I'm sensitive. I have a sensitivity.
See, I could tell because I quit eating bread and sweets and anything with lots of carbs that come from wheat, and I lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, it's you because, obviously are.
Because celiac disease was...
I'm being ravaged by celiac disease. if what it does is puts weight on you when you eat donuts every day.
It makes you puffy because of the inflammation.
Oh, sure, the inflammation.
Right. Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I am a little extra puffy.
It's a medical condition.
Yeah, back in the old days, you just said you were big boned.
That's right.
It's like, it's a medical condition.
He's a little husky. No, ma'am. He's a little buffalo.
Oh, You remember the Husky section at JCPenney?
Dude, I grew up in Husky, Arizona jeans.
That's what yes. I did too. Yeah. And those sons of bees, they put on the label a picture of a Husky. So like people didn't already know I was wearing Husky-sized jeans. Yep. All they had to do was look at the label.
These are jeans that are just made for you bigger boys.
Just for you.
Yeah, between that and the Bugle Boys. Yeah, that, boy. Now I'm
plus
getting
size jeans.
PTSD here. Oh, you're getting all a little snug. Do you have to say that every time? Just get me the next size up.
And where else are we going to find 32 22s?
Oh. Fourth grade was a long year. we feel grateful because Ava has had a long road, and she's with some of the stuff that she's gone through. If this is the worst that comes out of it, then we're okay with it.
Yeah. A little change of diet.
But what does that mean? I still don't know, and I'm like afraid to look. Like Becky got like a gluten-free cookbook, and I think
you'll be fine. I think there are way more options out there than what there were even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, you'll be fine.
You can get your noodles.
And they have gluten-free beer at Hy-Vee. There are multiple gluten-free beer options.
So when Ava comes of age, she can have... Why are we talking about gluten-free beer?
Well, he's worried about how it's going to impact him.
Oh, you. Yeah. If you are gluten...
I mean, Ava will be fine.
Intolerant.
Well, shoot, I'm 40. What's it going to matter at this point? Other than, you know,
other than feeling and better and
not being so puffy.
Yeah.
Not having so much of a.
Just think if you
can. Yeah, I feel like if I could improve my life in the ways that you're talking about, I would probably do that.
I mean, I'm 40 and practically dead.
What?
Yeah, that is a little bit of a fatalist view. Yeah.
I've lived my best life. It's waning now.
Oh, shit. No, it's mitching. It's on the way up. It's on the way up. Come on now. We are getting old, though, and Aaron had made a comment, Mitch, before you got in, about an employee that he has that the dander raised up, and he knew that maybe this employee was not all-star material because they would call instead of text to communicate.
If someone in their 30s would rather call you than text you...
You might be a redneck. Yeah.
It depends on what it is.
All the time. You're okay?
No.
See, Wayne was 100% with me.
I'm 100% with you.
It's not a red flag. 100%.
Send me your idea with the written word.
Yes.
You can speak to
take
text.
Take your eyes off the road.
I'm not talking when you're driving. I'm talking all the time. I want like to be
so give texts. An example of the conversation, type of conversation.
Hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? Yeah, you could have texted me that.
I'm leaving so-and-so's. I'm heading on to such-and-such where I'll be doing this and that. That can be done through text.
Okay.
And
what I hate is people like you who are anti-phone call, who then want to have an hour-long flipping conversation over
that.
Text.
Oh, that's
the worst.
That's fine because you can put as much or as little attention to that text message as you want. It is like by far the most kind
you can
and
do
respectable.
Respectful. Yes. I was mowing lawn for the last 2 hours and didn't see your text. It's perfect. Fact.
Yep.
So, all right.
You don't believe
if
how many
you're
times
antisocial, you believe that text messaging is the best thing ever. I got it. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
No. It's that when you have a telephone conversation,
you guys just hate people. Yeah.
That's why I needed my nap after having 2 hours of people last week Tuesday. Where I needed a tall boy.
So, all right. Imagine you're me. And
hey guys, I'm Mitch. I'm a smug piece of
No. I'm calling you because your bank account's overdrawn.
Yeah.
Would you rather I called you or texted you?
Text you. Because it's super embarrassing, and I don't want to have to talk to you about my... I would rather be like, oh,
I would rather
have 10 minutes to think of a reasonable excuse. Oh, I just got divorced, and my wife...
she was supposed to pay them bills.
She was supposed to pay that bill.
No, I can soften the blow in the way that I deliver that message. And I don't call every single person.
Fine.
No, that's overdrawn.
But I just checked. I just hit my ISB app. I just got the text from my app saying I'm below my threshold. Shit, now Mitch is calling. I don't even want to talk to that guy. I'm so flipping embarrassed. Auto reply on phone, call later.
Or it's a I know, I got the message the first time, didn't need to follow up with a phone call because the text was good enough.
Not everybody has account alerts, and
well, they should. Whose fault is that?
That's your fault by not right, enforcing it, Morna.
Well, I would call them to tell them about the text alerts. But
hey, this is Mitch Keys from Iowa State Bank Sibley. Did you know you're a dumbass?
You don't call every person if it's out of the ordinary. Hey.
Oh, out of the ordinary. No, that's good.
You are being uncharacteristically dumbass. You're
a habitual dumbass? Don't know. It would be, those aren't your phone calls.
You wrote, this check for $1,500.
Oh, sure. No, I get that.
You probably lost track. I just wanted to give you a heads up in case you had a deposit to make
I'd be
something.
Good with that. Yep, that is a phone call. Yeah. I'm all in. Yeah, that's good.
Now, if I send it via text, your account's overdrawn, please make a deposit, then it seems like, okay, geez, sorry.
No, I can just see Mitch, why you po send.
No, I just feel like
four letters.
Like the tone,
why you po.
The tone of voice and the fact that you, hey, how's it going? Hey, I just want to make sure you're aware of it.
Okay, but you're talking about interactions with customers. We're talking about like interpersonal communication.
No, he's talking about an employee.
But you don't want to text the customer.
Employees and customers are different.
You would be texting from your personal phone, and that's the last thing you want.
For certain people, yeah.
So, of course you would want to call people because you don't have a way to really text them from your landline. If you had a way to text people from your landline, you would certainly text people versus call them.
Some people I do text because I know
them. From your personal phone?
Yeah, 100%. Let me spend five minutes.
Is there a way that they could ever receive negative feedback from this? No? Okay, I'll text them. Right?
If we know each other well enough to where they know where I'm coming from.
Because you don't have tone in a text.
No, I get that. Have to. And actually, you wrote a $1,500
actually,
check.
Sometimes,
you have $1,200 in LOL.
Yeah. Yeah, you have $1,200 in your other account, LOL.
LOL.
Yeah.
Oh, I was really going to take that tough, but since he said LOL, I really understood the tone.
I really meant lots of luck.
And occasionally, you want to, not be as friendly, maybe.
Oh, yeah, on a phone call?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm coming to get your truck. I'm coming to get your truck.
Thankfully, that is not a thing I have to do regularly, but... But you also want to...
But don't worry. Once I take your truck, you have six weeks to get it back.
When you're on a phone call, they have to say something, right? Or hang up on you.
Yes.
Right.
But a text message, they can leave you on red forever.
Yeah, but they've seen it.
Not necessarily.
No, because if they swipe down on the notification and look at it and then
chances are, I think people would not answer your call. I think texting... Like, we started texting people about past due accounts from our landline using a texting service. We had way more success texting people to say, can we set up payments to get this taken care of, than we did calling them. Because what we found is sometimes we're not the only people asking to be paid.
Yeah.
Then phone calls aren't answered and messages are not listened to. It's like sending something... Like I told my mom one time, when you send somebody a statement and it shows that they've been past due for months and months and it says Samwer propane and oil on it, sometimes it just goes to the garbage. They know what it says.
Right.
They ain't going to open it. Right. Well, I wrote something on it. They ain't opening it. They know I can't pay you. It's going to the garbage. If you send them an envelope with a handwritten address on it with no return address, that baby gets opened.
True. That's true.
And then it gets read. Ooh, hopefully it's a birthday card from Ma.
Maybe there's money in here.
So it's a little trick we employ to get statements opened is a handwritten and no return.
I've got a couple of slow pays that I might have to try that on.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yep. But, and that's why we've just found that texting, it will get read. It doesn't guarantee a response. Not like a hello if they pick it up, but.
And then you feel less like ambushed on a text. Like, okay, hey. Being as least intrusive as possible, even though I should be as most intrusive as possible. But just here's the message. We can help. We want to resolve this with you.
So do you know what I like? When I get a message from somebody. Okay, so we were supposed to put in something in at somebody's house. Somebody wanted a new faucet installed that they bought at Menards. We can do it in a couple weeks. This is just an example. And a couple weeks come and go. Well, then they call. I would much rather have Apple dictate that message written and read it. I will never listen to it.
100%.
But I would read that message 1,000 times before I would listen to that message. I don't know what it is about reading. Just send me a text, man.
Well, I think...
And maybe it's... Maybe you and I are two very different personalities.
A little bit.
And maybe that's one of the dividing things that makes me the way I am about that and you the way you are.
Well, okay. But, well, now this is interesting.
What is the way I am?
Well,
that you want to call people.
Well, hold on. So I'm going to give you an interesting, for instance, here, because Mitch and I had this hypothetical the other night, and so we can say, are you Team Mitch or are you Team Wayne / Aaron / most other people?
Team everyone else.
We were out at Brady's after an EMA meeting. And,
oh, that's not normal.
I know. and I saw someone there that I know that I see almost on the daily walking his dog when I'm on my way to work, walking his dog without a leash and letting it poop anywhere and no bags, not Shame. Cleaning it up. And so I pointed that out to Mitch, and his first thought was, what'd you call him out on it? Like, no, it's like 6 blocks from my house. It's not like it was on my lawn. Oh, bullshit. You still should have told him about it. I mean, people need to know when they're wrong.
Okay, now I'm going to call time out. I got some questions. So, like, roll the window down and yell, I see you! Like that? That's calling them out on it? Or is it stomping on the brakes, putting it in reverse, squealing the tires? I saw your dog crap back there. Get back there with your bare flipping hands. Pick it up. Put it in your pocket. And head home. I mean, what Mitch Geese approach are we taking?
I would probably say something sarcastic, like...
Oh, yes. Yeah, sarcasm.
Hey, bet they appreciate you fertilizing their lawn there, huh?
Yeah, that would be good. That's good.
It's kind of slightly passive-aggressive, too.
That is
it's
a little passive-aggressive.
Yeah, but then depending on the response, it can become very aggressive. Because I told Wayne a story. Do you want me to tell him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want me to tell
him? You're your own man.
I know. I don't want to like take over here. But and I don't want to sound like
show.
And I'm, after telling the line cutting story, now I'm going to sound like I just do this type of thing.
Do you know
all
how many people fell in love with you after the line cutting story?
I don't think you've ever had such
a spike in fans.
I don't know about that story. Some line cutters were probably like the jerk.
That's that guy.
I saw that. I didn't know that was Mitch. What an ass. All right. Douche.
Let's have another ass story for Mitch.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So my parents up at where they live up at the lakes, the neighbors across the street, it's our former neighbors, but in the house across the street, their entire yard is fenced in. Okay. So you cannot get into their yard without going through a gate. And they had dogs, and their MO was to let the dog out to take a crap through the only door in the house that didn't go into a fenced yard.
Sure, yeah, I don't want them crapping
so
in your own
yard. So the dog,
right?
Even if it wanted to, couldn't go crap on their property. It has to go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no way, absolutely no way on God's green earth that you can let your dog out of that door without knowing that it's going to go take a dump on somebody else's lawn, mm-hmm. right? Like, you would have to be the dumbest person alive and not say a radiologist from Sioux Falls, you would think, would have the intelligence level.
They would be able to pull one and one together.
Yeah, figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were at the Winter Games. This is several years back. And the whole, like, for a day, I'm watching this go on. They walk the dog out to the
door. How many dogs do they have?
This is one, but it's just a one. Big hunting dog.
You know what they say about big dogs?
Yeah.
Big poops.
Correct. And because it's wintertime, there's no foliage or anything, you can see all this clear as day. And there's white snow, so you know. And it's coming across the street to my parents' lawn and taking care of business right there, right next to the street. And I can see the neighbors like, up now, there.
Is it in the right of way? Does that make a difference?
It's on their grass. And there's no sidewalks there. So if you're off the street, you're on someone's property. Okay. I can see the neighbor let the dog out, close the door, and they're looking out the window watching the dog to make sure it doesn't run off or whatever. So they know exactly what their damn dog is doing. And I said to my parents, I'm like, you ever said anything to him about this?
Your parents are a couple of me's.
They're just like, wow, whatever. Dad's like, I'll scoop it up later and throw it in a bucket and it'll be fine.
Now, if like, your dad had said, I'll put it in a bucket and I'll throw it at their house.
Okay. So what I did, I said, well, we're going to fix this. I went and grabbed a shovel and they had their snowmobile trailer parked out in front of their house. And I shoveled up all of it, picked it up, dumped it on the snowmobile trailer.
Yep.
And this guy's wife opens the door. Hey, what are you doing? I said, oh, well, you left your dog crap over here. I was bringing it back to you. Well, that's real neighborly. I said, well, it's real neighborly to let your dog out of the only door where it can't get in your own yard and crap on our yard. Mm-hmm. Well, we had no idea. I was like, you had no idea that the dog couldn't get in the yard? Like, you thought it could open the freaking gate on its own and, or what? Like, what do you mean you had no idea? You're standing there watching it happen. Like, I'm not stupid. She's like, whoa, oh, inconsiderate and rude. I was like, well, just don't do it anymore and we won't have a problem. It's back on your property now. It's your problem. Deal with it. And yeah, and then the husband came out later and he scooped all the stuff off the snowmobile trailer into the street, by the way, which tells you what type of people.
My yard.
Yeah. But they never spoke to me again the whole another several years that they lived there, and they wouldn't look at me.
And subsequently moved out.
Yeah, good. The new guy's really nice.
That's good.
Never once had his animals over.
And then the whole time, just like your neighbors watching their dog, your mom and dad were up against the window with their hands above their eyes looking, watching you.
Oh, my God. No.
What's Mitchell doing?
Oh, he's putting it on their trailer.
I can't believe it.
We have to live here. Bob, we have to live here.
Well, I didn't make a big scene or anything. I just scooped it up and I placed it in a neat little pile right on the edge of their trailer and thought, there. They can deal with it from there. Hopefully, they'll see it and get the message.
Oh, they saw it all right.
Yeah, and then yelled at me like I was the one being
rude.
Talk
about passive aggressive.
That's not passive aggressive.
100%
I think that's 10% passive, 90% aggressive. Because he had the conversation with them. I think passive aggressive would have been, I saw them leave, and then I scooped up the
poop. I knew they were there.
Yep. So that's true.
The confrontation...
would kill you.
Would kill me. Yeah, my heart would blow anxiety out of my chest. Yeah. You would need an ambulance. Come pick me up.
You know what? It's just a couple times that I've been like that. But you can't let people like that walk all over you.
Oh, yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Oh, just a little poop.
No, it's one.
Your mom and dad were. What gets me.
It's one thing if it's like, you know, my daughter is, you know, someone is accosting my daughter, whatever. Yeah, then I'll go scorched earth on that shit. No!
That's not scorched earth. Scorched earth would have been pounding on the door with a bucket of the dog crap in my hand and throwing it in the house. The door when they opened it up.
Which might have
crossed my mind.
I was going to say, that had to have crossed your mind at some point. Like,
but I'm sure you thought about the legality of it.
I would never do that. I'm not trying to get in a fight or something. I'm just trying to point out.
Yeah, but you're like, big enough you could.
This is extremely inconsiderate, what you're doing.
Yeah.
And there is no way you did not understand what you were doing.
Mm-hmm. It's not an accident.
And I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of thinking that
you think I'm
so dumb or so, you know, well, gee, that guy is a doctor in Sioux Falls, so I better not make him mad. Like, what do I care? I don't even like you. Like, you're a dick, obviously. Like, What do I have to lose in that situation? It's the same thing with a line cutter. It's someone I'll probably never see again.
Except this guy you saw every weekend for 4 more years.
Well, right, yeah, but I don't care.
And he walks out barrel-chested, proud as a peacock single time.
That's why. Wayne dislikes this guy's behavior enough that he sees him randomly at a restaurant, that he thinks about it, points it out, tells me the whole story.
Yep.
But he won't say something. Hmm. And you can do it in a nice way.
Now, that surprises me out of you because you're supposed to be a tough guy.
I've never said that I was a tough guy.
You're supposed to be.
Well, I don't know who wrote that narrative. But you did.
Oh, you maybe have never said it, but you've certainly laid the foundation
for it. I'm a tough guy when it comes to manning your employees.
And I'm a tough guy when manning your employees.
Yeah, that's about as far as that goes.
Someday I'm going to go to the bank and really let your employees have it,
Mitch.
Oh,
man.
Wouldn't be the first.
No, I suppose not.
All right, here's the other thing. I use up all my diplomacy at work. Right,
you're out.
So I have to just take it and, you know, smooth things over and apologize when I don't want to apologize and pretend I'm wrong when I'm not wrong.
There's also plenty of times where you don't do that.
At work?
I don't know about that.
Okay, sir. Because you've had someone like MF you at work.
A guy literally screamed at me in the lobby one time, and I'm not going to say any more details than that because of the nature of my work.
At least they wait until you're in a restaurant to yell that at you.
True.
Mitch, they do it right in his place of employment.
And I just told him that that was enough, and I'm not going to put up with that, and neither are my employees, and if you're going to act like that, you can leave. And I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Scream at him or threaten to beat him up.
If you do this again, I'm going to go scoop some dog poop and put it on your trailer.
But that, I mean, we're talking about a couple of times in my life. This isn't like a Mitch spends his weekends confronting people for their.
I cannot wait for the play.
So that's why I hesitated to even tell that story everybody's.
Like, I'm going to get a text message.
This guy's just out looking to get in a fist fight.
I'm going
to
get a text message from Greta when she hears this. And she, of course, you know, love has no, it doesn't boast. It doesn't, you know, okay. But it keeps no records of rights and wrongs. And, yep. Greta, she's a record keeper.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
She's a record keeper. I think at this point, I think you could advertise your services. And do you have a neighborly dispute? Call Mitch Geese.
He'll come over and help you settle. Like that.
Your neighborhood dispute.
It was Norm MacDonald and...
Dirty Work?
Dirty Work, yes. Yes. Yep.
I wish I could participate in this conversation.
All right, well, we'll take a brief time out and then back with segment 3 after this. I did think of Mitch today.
I
think of Mitch
at least once a day.
But I was in Sibley, and they had, it must be cleanup days. Nary a flag
Where
to be
are
seen.
The flags?
No,
don't these people follow rules and order?
No virtual flags.
No
regular flags.
But no, there were no stickers on appliances.
It's like city exists to provide service to the residents. It's appalling.
That's right.
It's absolutely appalling.
I mean, what I really like is that now that it is 100% for sure, and it has been published that Wayne will not be on the ballot this fall for the next 4-year term of councilman, you don't seem to care.
No, I don't.
That Mitch poo-poos the city.
Well, and what I will say, I'm not going to repeat the same take over and over again, but the only thing I'm going to say is, told you. Mitch said I'd never...
That is weak.
I'm not one to collect.
I thought you were so beholden to Sam that, I mean, I didn't know if he had, like, compromising photos or what the deal was, but I thought you were so beholden to Sam you would never quit.
Nope. I served my time, and now there's...
Yeah, but had somebody with a pulse not have filled out... the nomination papers,
you would have filled them out.
Last 11th hour, would have been scurrying around town collecting your signatures. It's easy to say
no now, but we know better. Yeah. We know you better than you know yourself.
Absolutely not.
When you heard that somebody was going to fill the position, you were so relieved that you didn't have to do your 11th hour scurry. You had the paper in your truck
ready to
drive and beg.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Drive and beg. Beg this.
There's this. We had beer. I mean, got to get the order right. Bibles and beer last week. It's strictly a timeline thing. You know, first we have a beer, then we open the Bible. It's not that one's more important than the other, but it's one of the guys shows up and he has a nomination paper. A couple old boys talked him into running for city council in Sanborn. A couple of old boys.
Now, if there's anyone who can correct him
right
from taking that path, it would be you.
It would be me and
you,
Josh.
Didn't.
Josh was there too. He served at least one term and saw just a shit show. And
you both said, well, best of luck to you. Here, let me sign.
Oh, it was great when Pastor came in. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I'll sign it. But first, what's your platform? Well, you see, there are these two older guys that are neighbors of mine that think that me running would be a really good idea.
See, they won't run.
They won't right, run.
Exactly.
But they really got me riled up about this one issue.
I would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, hey, you can make city council what you want. You can be somebody that just shows up to the meetings and sits there with your arms crossed, just and say aye whenever, and make very little of it, and you'll persevere 3 or 4 years and be done. Or you could be someone that cares about the issues, wants to educate yourself on the issues, and then it turns into quite a bit more because now it's taking considerable time for you to wrap your mind around what's all happening. So it's what you put into it is how hard it's going to be. So yeah, one of the guys was like, dude, you got two kids at home and you're on this board and you really want that? But it had happened the morning of the day before the final day to file your paperwork. So there's not a lot of time to think about it.
That's true.
All I know is these two old boys thought I'd be real good for the job because I think that it's stupid to have the tree dump on the north end of town.
Oh, single issue voting. Love it. Love it.
Single issue running.
Yeah. It happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they figure
out.
What was
your single issue?
Let's end dumbassery.
That's very broad.
And
impossible.
It was not. I did not have one.
Well, you were going to end wards.
That wasn't
your campaign promise, but
no,
after you got in.
So when I started, I thought, well, I want my platform was just basically, I want to be the guy that actually tries to do something instead of just bitching about it. And then once I got in there, got my feet wet. And
then you realize that there was 10 guys that are just bitching about it.
Yes.
And just having one guy that's trying to do something about it versus 10 guys that are just bitching about it. Very, very hard and very, very demoralizing.
It really is. And what sucks is just like bringing someone else's stress upon me. Like having to shoulder that stuff. Like, not that I, it's
the
not
whole the weight of the town.
No, it's not. It was that it was about like the work that I did.
Well,
it was about the shit that I had to put up with.
You know, you might not realize this, but I have not been very complimentary of you and your work on the council. Yes, I have.
That's just a charade.
You've done it. You've actually done a really good job, but I like to give you hell and push your buttons a little bit. But my criticism of you is you took those people too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think that's fair.
Felt like, well, you know, they have a right to be heard. They don't always actually like part of it is you gotta just realize like if you listen to their complaints and take it to heart and, you know, consider where they're coming from this week, next week is just another complaint, right? Like, it's not like, now they're going to turn over a new leaf and be a new person because they realize that I understand. No, it's actually going to make it worse because now they're going to think, I can go to bar.
I finally got one.
And that's probably the hardest thing to wrap your mind around and then implement that idea when you are elected to a representative type position. So I remember when I was elected as a deacon, one of my friends told me, whatever you do, when people bring you a stupid idea, just don't bring it up at the meeting. You don't have to listen to dumb things, and you don't have to relay them as somehow your responsibility.
You don't have to be a conduit for every single person.
Right.
And I think the where maybe I ran afoul of that is probably a bit of naivete of thinking that, all right, so that's that I'm hearing this one side of the argument. Now let's hear from the other people. Crickets. Because no one is no one's really engaging in any sort of like civic discourse as far as like, you know, I have not had granted, I'm probably not the easiest person to like get a hold of. I don't just stand at a counter and someone can walk up to me and say, hey, you know what I think? But
I couldn't even go into your office because your door was shut and I read the paper that's posted on your door. And under none of the examples could I knock on your door.
There was not in. A puppy.
I just had to leave. There was no. Well, anyways.
No, I guess it was somewhat disenfranchising when I found out that the only people that were talking were the people that were just angry about something. And for as much of a caricature and as much of a farce as Parks and Rec looked when I saw it for the first time, it hit eerily close to home.
But the complainers are, that's their occupation.
True. That's true. And that's what, it's also it's like validation for their lives. But you know what? I don't have to deal with it anymore.
My last year on city council in Sanborn, or my last term, we had a professional complainer elected. And he made the meetings hell. He made the city administrator's life hell, made the city clerk's life hell. And in Sanborn, you're quite a bit smaller, obviously. But those are really it. And the meetings were awful. He would ambush in the meetings. And there's nothing worse than someone who ambushes. When a councilman or mayor or even administrator thinks it's a good idea to ambush in a meeting, no, you flush this crap out between, and then we can have our discussion at the meeting.
Yeah,
and make
it's
a decision.
The city's official business meeting. But it's not something.
This I'm going to spring this on you guys. And now that's what he did. Every 2 weeks. And I remember, it's a Monday again. And I want to go, can I make a legitimate excuse not to show up? Can I somehow make this job take too long? But many of my years on city council, I really enjoyed. There were fun things. Things were on the up and up. Nothing was videoed so we could talk smack. You don't have the social media. But, you know, in Shelton, isn't it recorded?
It is. Yeah.
In Sanborn, it wasn't recorded. People don't show up. You can talk crap. And same way when in Hospers. And then when the meeting was done, we just went next door to Boxcar Billy's. And we had a quorum.
Right.
And we'd talk about what we discussed, you know. Oh, yeah, I remember I was going to say this when we were talking about that. And in 2 weeks, we'll do that. And those were the good years.
And that's something that I wish we could do a little bit more is, like, have the ability to have conversations that aren't on the record, like with a quorum. I look at me like that, Mitch. Like, I'm trying.
He wants to have secret meetings. Yes. Out of the public eye.
It would be as a councilman, very nice to have those. Really would. But I understand from the public's perspective,
right?
And
you want
how the rules are.
But
yeah, transparency is good. But nothing would be more comforting than knowing you can say something out loud and ask a question without it being recorded.
Right.
Or seen by people that'll take it and run with it.
Or take it the wrong way. And yeah.
Well, I'm just looking forward to you being able to admit that I was right about all the stuff I complained about. Once
you started this whole thing with the whole junk city's days. Water.
You brought it up.
I did bring it up because it did make me chuckle. And then made me angry because then I was driving and I was following behind a junker. what kind of crap they got on their pile here? God, hate that.
You weren't driving around seeing what good stuff was out there?
I was not.
There was a really nice mattress on 9th Street when we went into town to go to Pizza Hut Saturday night. But then the box frame was like five houses down. I didn't understand that. But I'm sure they were both fine. But yeah. we didn't have room. We were
Somebody picked that mattress up and was like, wait a minute. Yep. I didn't see the stain on the back. And they threw it out 5 houses
down. Or they made it 5 houses down and started itching from all the bed bugs. Whatever.
And here's my final, hopefully my final, knock on wood, final city council complaint was during our cleanup days, I had someone come into my office just hotter than a hornet because someone had dropped tires off onto this person's pile. And since the, you know, like the landfill doesn't take tires, you know, they had to go and get the tires disposed of and pay a fee. Mm-hmm. And this person was standing in my office waving a receipt around wondering who was going to pay this.
Why would it be the city's responsibility someone was being a jerk?
That's who's going to pay that?
The guy who dropped them off.
Yes. Well, I tried calling the cops and they said there's really not a whole lot they can do. Like, yeah, how are they
going to prove they weren't your tires? I get it. I would be pissed if I was on the other side mm-hmm. of that. But what is anyone going to do?
Right.
Don't they know a farmer? They can go throw them on the burn. I'm sorry. There's, never mind. That's right. Wait, not supposed a minute. To say that.
Take those golf cart tires with you.
Well, you're not done yet. You have to go. You have three more months.
Yeah, and I'm missing a meeting right now.
What?
For real?
Well, not a council meeting.
A planning?
It's the emergency building committee meeting.
Oh, the building we don't need committee?
Oh. I'm with you, my man. We can save more lives. Are people dying in town because we don't have this building?
Yeah. I'm not saying it will never be needed. I just don't know that it's a huge priority right now. That
didn't you see even Alton got one? Even Alton.
I mean, I am part of emergency.
It was the same one. They just added on to it.
I am part of emergency services, and I 100%. We're the JV team.
Yes,
yeah,
we are. Yes, thank you. We are the JV fire department.
Yes. Right. But no, but point being, I am there. I have a front row view of everything they do in our fire department and our EMS are some of the most dedicated, selfless people mm-hmm. that live in this town. 100% appreciate what they do. And that has nothing to do with that. Right. I just think that sometimes small towns get caught up in, you know, the Sioux Center Orange City effect of, well, they have it. Now we got to have it. And I don't know. I'm not saying we'll never need a new fire station. I just don't know that it's the city's priority.
For the record, I asked Mitch to run for council. I had the city manager ask if I would talk to Mitch about running for city council.
Well,
Mitch would have to give
declined.
Up fifth grade sports coaching.
Sixth grade. But
sixth grade coaching.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that. It's my last year to do any of that. I'm not going to say which board because I don't know that everyone on the board knows this yet, but I've asked to be done with my term early on one of the things that I serve on.
Can you do that? Can you quit? Can you be a quitter? You quitter?
I don't want to be, but
you have to find your own replacement in that situation.
Well, I didn't want to.
Greta?
No. It's one of those things where I signed up for something and not realizing that another thing I was already committed to was going to conflict as much as it does.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, I got enough stuff. Someday, I would love to serve on the city council someday. I think that's a great job for somebody who is a recent empty nester. Because you're young enough to be like engaged and not an old crotchety bastard yet.
Mike Vogel.
But no, I said not an old crotchety bastard yet.
Oh, that's good.
Nice, nice.
That's good. We'll be watching the phones for that one.
I kid, Mike. I kid.
But be fair, Mike was on the city council.
Was he really?
And he quit early.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, and I can understand why. No. Why? Because of all the crap you got to deal with.
I'm just saying that some people, you know, they like people that aren't losers or people that don't quit or that don't get captured.
Don't get captured. yeah, but it does get me a little bit because so many old people who have nothing but free time will be like, we got to get these young people more involved. Yes. I'm like, dude, I'm coaching three sports. I'm on like four boards. And
but obviously
three other
anyone
things.
Can coach. So
yeah, about, you're 100% right. But I still have to spend the time to do it.
But how about you spend your time on the things that you're better suited to do? Like,
nah, I'm not better suited to do that.
You were an offensive lineman. Okay.
No. I feel like the sixth grade baseball team is more mature than the people you have to deal with on the council in a lot of ways.
Could be true there.
Calm down there, Yogi Berra. I don't know.
Usually you're the one that gets philosophical third segment. What the hell am I doing here?
I know. I love it. It's it's because you're drinking Bud Light now. It's really enlightened you.
From your fridge. And it's the only beer that's left. So
it is not.
Other than the beer you had, I didn't want to take your last beer.
No. There's
there's a stout from Christmas 2020 in there.
I bet it's
really come around.
I went to the Toppling Goliath, a just short story, and went in their cask room where they store all this stuff. Even Ava's like, Dad, it smells so good in here. And I'm like, you don't even know the half of it, Ava.
Dad, it smells like you in here.
Yeah, it's probably right. Well, suddenly I feel like I'm at home for some reason. But I want to thank our pioneer seedsmen's, the Bird Seed Company.
Producers or sellers of the tallest, stoutest corn plant that can be purchased.
Most wind resistant
corn plant that can be purchased.
That's right. And resistant to all sorts of
bugs,
ailments,
and mold and fungus things.
Mitch likes it so much.
The best seed corn there is, unless the DeKalb dealer calls next week and offers more money.
Mm-hmm. Or Beck's. We'll do Beck's.
Hey, we plan a little of everything. We're equal opportunity, but I'm a fan of Pioneer Corn.
One of the seed company guys actually got him on a private jet.
Well,
and flew him to the corporate offices because he's such a big wheel over here.
No, they were recruiting me as a dealer. It was Bex.
Oh, they wanted you to be a dealer.
Yes. And I said, no. I am not going to.
I am a one seed
man. I'm not
going to
compete with my good friends, Jay and Amy, like that. You know,
I suppose.
I'd have been covering a different area of the county, but that just didn't, you know, I couldn't risk it.
Oh, no, that's good of you.
So the private jet didn't sway you?
Good. No, it was cool.
Look at you not going after big seed.
Yeah.
Stick with the little guys like Pioneer.
Yeah. Fight for the little guy.
But we do appreciate Bird Seed Company. We thank you for that. Our sponsor next time will be Justin from Brady's. He's got his 14 spice mixture.
Is he sponsoring this one or what?
No.
Yeah, don't give him any publicity.
Sorry, I see what you mean. But your chance,
go visit Justin.
Yes, your chance to sponsor is as easy as hitting up the Venmo link that is at the right at the beginning of our description on this story's page. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. And until next time. Oh, wait, no, wait. Before we go, we forgot to do this. We have to thank our beer sponsor.
Oh
yes!
Oh, we almost
drank all of the beer and then never even gave props to him. So if you guys remember a long time ago,
this should almost be like a little fourth,
right?
Little fourth.
Well, this is the XXL version because it's harvest time. But if you remember a long time ago, Laura was on here talking about how she got hooked up on a date by dude's mom,
right,
that she worked with. And he was part of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened.
Did it happen after the podcast?
It happened after a podcast.
After one, yes. Like that she was on.
Yes, correct. Yeah, on a date. Right?
Oh, you might have been right.
We were
all
excited, and then she came back to report on the date.
That's the episode
that was never published.
Oh my God, I forgot about that, Aaron. Maybe we should publish it now.
We could now.
Well, we brought it back.
I'd have to figure out which number it was. But
well, now that he's given us beer, we've gotten over it.
As Mitch said, we're part of Sheldon Emergency Services. We showed up on a call that Sioux County was on, and suddenly this deputy walks up to me and he says, "So, yeah, I've been listening to your podcast."
Oh, and there's nothing worse to hear than that, is it?
And what my response was, well, you'll have to excuse me if I seem a little uneasy. I don't know quite how to react when someone who brandishes a firearm calls tells me that. And then we played a little Dutch bingo, and I found out that it was the would-be boyfriend of
Mr.
Laura
Grassman.
Yep. But instead, she's so darn independent. But he said that was terrible, Aaron. Thank you.
Cut that in, would you?
Throw your hands up at me. But he said, "Darn it, he wants his side of the story told." He's actually a very polite Dutch man, but he wanted to. He dropped this beer off a few days after that to help, you know, change the light in which we were casting.
He's not a bad guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He just makes you wonder about that
Shiner Oktoberfest. Laura's really kind of.
And the Queen Bee, which is.
That's good beer.
It is good beer. Yeah, he brought both of these.
Very generous.
Oh, man, he's twice as good as I thought he was.
Right?
What's wrong with Laura? That's what I want to know.
We don't have enough segments.
No, but we know Laura's parents are good.
Yeah.
We
do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten good Michigan beer and potato chips.
A lot about them. Yep. But Laura, on the other hand, not really sure what to think.
Right. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what I will say is this. He told me, "Well, why don't you ask Laura how she got home from Hull Summerfest this summer? Because it wasn't with the people that drove her."
And then he followed it up with, "Just don't say that on the podcast."
He did. So that's why we do this. Now, Mitch, calm down.
You have to consider other people more often.
I consider all the people other people all the time. They
pause to reflect a little more before we speak.
The joke was he was good enough to get a call when she needed a ride. And that they joked about it. That's the joke.
It sounded like you were implying
No. That's not how I implied it. That's how you took it. That's where
Mitch,
Mitch was on his
phone searching arrest records for Sioux County or Lyon County or wherever she started.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Everything's above board. These are two good Dutch folk. Dutch folk. And I wanted to make sure that I raised his profile up because he wasn't a bad guy. Laura is just Laura. And that's probably the best explanation that any of us could provide. And so we thank you for the beer. We look forward to seeing what comes next. And until next time, we'll see ya.
What the hell's that?